Folks, how about that little intro from Artis Tubb there? This segment here is brought to us by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Doug's Jugs, maker of some awesome jug lines for catching catfish. That's online, dougsjugs.com. Also by Newella Fish Company. You can order hybrid stripers to stock in your pond or small lakes. They'll ship them right to your door. You put them in your pond. That's Newella fishcompany.com. Well, friends, we're going to dig back in our archives way back to an interview with Mr. Bill Dance that we did a long time ago. And as I've often said, the information that Bill gives are just as pertinent today as they were back when Bill and I recorded. You know, obviously, technology's changed, but I do want you to keep in mind this was recorded a long time ago. So nothing is current as far as dates or anything like that that we talk about, websites, all that is yesteryear stuff. But if you listen to Bill just a little bit, you can pick up some, not only some good information on fishing, but some good life lessons. He's one of the wisest people that I've ever known, Bill Dance is, and true friend. I've told you in the past that I used to gas Bill's boat up when we were both youngsters and teenagers. My uncle owned Camp Carefree, which is an oxbow lake off the Mississippi River up near Hughes, Arkansas, about 25 miles from Memphis. And my uncle and he liked this young man named Bill Dance, and he had a lot of rental boats. Bill would come there and use the rental boats, and I dare say Bill cut his bass fishing teeth right there at my uncle's place. But Bill and I connected when I was writing a fishing column for the Dallas Morning News years later. We didn't know each other as young whippersnappers, but he called me up and he said, Luke Clayton, that happened to be my uncle's name, Luke Clayton. He said, there can't be, you've got to be kin to Luke Clayton at owned Camp Carefree. So that's how Bill Dance and I got to be friends. Folks, let's go back to yesteryear, and I want you to listen to some of this conversation. The sound quality is not what we have today, but I think it's pretty good, and I think you'll enjoy it. Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton back at the boat ramp this morning with Mr. Bill Dance, who is on the other side of the boat. And as always, you know he's either ready to go. He's always ready to go fishing, but he's ready to talk some fishing first. Bill, thanks for being with us, man.
I've got one leg in the boat and ready to go. I'm just waiting for you to get in the truck and back me in.
It won't take long. It won't take long. I'll get
good to be with you this morning, Luke.
Oh, man. Glad to have you and with all of our listeners. And you know, Bill, we were talking last week. We covered a lot of distance last week. We were talking about how a fisherman needs to be versatile, right? You know, last week.
Absolutely. We talked about the mistakes that we all make, and then we got off on being versatile. Yeah, you know, a truly good bass fisherman is one that really needs to be versatile, one that can adapt to the seasons, different water temperatures and clarities, and use a variety of tackle with different lures, both shallow and deep, and an angler who knows the habits and the habitats of his quarry on different types of lakes, regardless if it's a lowland, a midland, highland type lake, even moving water. But it's essential to know how to fish structure, both shallow and deep. Learning to fish structure requires a commitment to that phase of the sport and an understanding that it requires a lot of study, learning to read contour maps, understanding his electronics, especially his electronics today, and having a ton of patience. It's very time-consuming, perhaps the most difficult form of fishing, but it's one of the most productive for catching lots of fish. You don't want to make the mistake of not including structure in your game plans. Structure is a mighty, mighty big word, Luke.
It sure is. Well, Bill, how about defining the word structure as it relates to fishing?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Luke. The word structure we used earlier, like in the question you're asking, is so doggone important. Many fishermen mistakenly refer to structure as cover, and cover is structure. You know, I hear it all the time. Boy, we planted a lot of structure on the point and in the back of that cove. Or you hear that the lake is full of structure, timber, brush, and vegetation. Well, I have to tell you, that's cover, not structure. Consider structure to be the floor of the lake extending from the shallows to deeper water. More precisely, it's the unusual or irregular features on the lake bottom that are different from the surrounding bottom areas. Now, structure comes in all shapes and all sizes. It can be straight or crooked. It can contain dents and depressions or be flat. Some structure is steep, some is sloping, or even barren. It can be shallow or deep on the shoreline or offshore in open water. If cover is present on structural features, it'll normally make it even more attractive for fish, but only if it's at a depth the fish are using. In other words, when you say, if you've got a channel point and there's a big treetop right there on the turn in or the turn out, that structural feature there with that treetop, that's what I'm talking about. If cover is present on that structural feature, you've got cover and structure together. That makes it an excellent spot. Here's another mistake that many anglers make that pertains to their equipment. If you're serious about bass fishing, what you want to do, buy the best that you can afford, the rod and reel, lure, but nowadays, your electronics, and of course, your boat, whatever you use. You want to buy the best you can possibly buy. Doing this is going to pay itself in the long run, Luke. I mean, it just is.
Well, it does, and I can, you know, we both can look back on the time when, I hate to admit it, but I can actually remember way back when I first started fishing, taking a window weight and a cord to feel out the creek channels and stuff like that, drop it down, you know, and then I got a flasher, and then, you know, then on and on and on. But, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Bill, you know, bass fishing is a lot of fun, but you kind of get back you get repaid by the efforts you put into it and by doing your homework, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, to be successful at this sport, it's just like anything. You got to work at it. There's no miracle methods. There's no secret lures. There ain't no shortcuts to the thrill of a strike. That's why your mental attitude must always be positive. You got to believe that the next move you make is going to be the correct one. Don't make the mistake of getting discouraged. You got to continue to believe that your approach is the best one for you. If you fail on a given day, what you want to do is review the procedures you've used and the places you fished. Go through the mental exercises and try to find the things that'll let you profit from your experiences. Tell yourself that the next time is going to be different. And above all, don't ever lose sight of the fact that the reason that you love bass fishing is because the thing you're after is so doggone unpredictable. Also, you don't ever forget that confidence in your ability to locate and catch bass is by far the greatest lure that you got in your tackle box. This is just a wonderful, wonderful sport, and it's a challenge. You know, we've said that so many times. If it wasn't, we wouldn't do it. We're just a competitive bunch of people. We just love to compete. You know, Tennessee's going to play Texas tomorrow. I'm going to bet you a Coca-Cola that we beat y'all.
See, that's...
No, we're doing, no, we're not, not going to do that. Not with Tennessee's not with Tennessee's record. I'm not going to do that. But, no, I shouldn't say that about Tennessee. I love Tennessee.
That's
but,
just the way it is, though. Isn't? I mean, that's human nature.
But we are.
And, you know, it's fun. That's the good, the
sure
good thing
it
about it, Bill. It's a lot of fun. You know, I want to remind all of our listeners, Bill, that, and we do have a lot of folks that tune in, and they enjoy these weekly visits with you and me, just literally around the boat ramp, just casual talk. It's not, I kid a lot of people, and they kid me about Paul Harvey. I couldn't present a show like Paul Harvey or a formatted question and answer show if I wanted to. But a lot of people learn a lot listening to you, Bill. And you know, if folks, if you have any questions for Bill, you can email them to me, and many of you do. Just go to catfishradio.com. It says email Luke there. You can't miss it. And send me the questions, and we might not get it the next week, but we get around to it. Bill, speaking of getting around to it, man, I see you got that rod in your hand. You're ready to, I can tell you're ready to get after these bass. So what do you say we just go fishing and then get right back here next week with everybody?
You see where I'm sitting?
I see. Well,
go.
Okay.
I'm waiting for you to back us in.
That's my cue. I'll do it. We'll be back with everyone next week, Bill.
I'm ready. Let's go, bud.
Folks, that about wraps our show up for this week. I've enjoyed being with you, and I hope you had a good time, too. This segment was made possible by AGM Global Vision, maker of the Rattler and the Adder, two awesome thermal scopes that I use for all my night hunting. Check out AGM, all the products that they have there online, agmglobalvision.com. And folks, we're also brought to you by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma, located about, 45 minutes west of Hugo, Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation. It's about 45,000 acres of awesome mountain, country, hills, valleys, loaded with game, lots of eastern turkey, and they do eastern turkey hunts if you're looking for a spot to hunt turkey in the spring. Also, I want to remind you about the Seneca 50 caliber Dragon Claw that shoots bullets and pellets. And by pellets, I'm talking about 200 and 210 grain chunks of lead. It's a big bore air gun that I use. Check out the Seneca Dragon Claw there at pyramidair.com.